Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
Well, Ukraine has rejected an ultimatum from Moscow to surrender the devastated city of Mariupol, as authorities in Odessa reported Russian striking of residential areas in what would be the invading forces' first attack on the Black Sea port. In the last couple of hours, the Odessa City Council said that apartment blocks in the city's outskirts have been hit by airstrikes, causing no casualties but starting a fire. Overnight, shelling in the capital Kyiv reduced a large shopping mall to rubble and killed at least 8 people. Well, joining us on the line now from the capital city of Kyiv, is Ukrainian MP Dmytro Gurin. And you're very welcome, Dmytro, to the programme this evening. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us. I know, as I said, you're in Kyiv this evening. We might start, though, first with your home city of Mariupol. And I think internationally, all eyes there over the last couple of days as we witness what's happening. I know your family are there. Have you heard from them at all in recent days?
No, I didn't hear from them recent days, but as I understand, they're alive. That's all that I know.
And can you tell what can you tell us about what they have been enduring or what their situation is from the last time that you heard from them?
The last time I heard from them, they lived with their friends because. They built their house. It's a 9-story building where I grew up and lived for 15 years. It was totally destroyed. It was shot by tanks several times. It's 200 apartments in this building, and it's totally burned. And the next building is also totally burned. And in general, all my neighborhood where I grew up is totally destroyed. Now, in the whole city, 30% of buildings, by estimate of mayor's office, are destroyed, and 50% are hardly damaged and cannot be restored at all. So we month ago we had half a million city, and now we don't have this city. So we cannot just restore it. We have to build this city from scratch. And what's going on in Mariupol in very short words? And there is no heating, electricity, water, gas, and food supply, medicine supply. It's medieval conditions. And people are just, we think that there are around 250,000 people still in Mariupol. And people live in this half destroyed buildings or in basements. People drink water from a radiator system. We already have information that people start killing animals, like cats, dogs, for food, and I can't imagine all of this. Frankly speaking, we all know all the information, but it's I cannot fit it in my head. Frankly speaking, and but we clearly see that the goal of Putin is to start hunger in Mariupol because he needs this leverage for diplomatic processes. And he's doing it. All these humanitarian corridors, it's just, just talks. It doesn't have nothing.
Yeah, because as I said, the Russians did suggest or offer that they would let people leave Mariupol this morning if they surrendered and they would be allowed out. They said but the deadline came and went and Ukraine said no. Was that the right decision, do you think? Or did Ukraine have any choice? Could they trust the Russian offer?
Let's ask the Great Britain in 1943 if it's the right decision not to surrender because maybe Hitler will kill less Jews. Was it real? Was it the right decision? You're asking us if it's the right decision to surrender for us. It's not us who are killing people in Mariupol, and it's not us who are now who forcefully move people to Mariupol, to the concentration camps that Russians say is recreational centers. If you think that life on occupied territories is better, no, we have information that on the occupied territories, Russians kill people for fun. And that's not what we want for our people, because the main that we have in Mariupol, it's people. We don't have city, but we have people.
So what now do you think for the people of Mariupol? Because as you say, the conditions there are medieval. There's no food, there's no water, there's no communication, mobile phones are down. We don't know what's going on in the city because it's very difficult to get any information out of there. There's no independent journalists on the ground anymore to tell us what's happening. And indeed, the last team of independent journalists from Associated Press who left, they're writing today about the 15 different checkpoints that they encountered, Russian checkpoints, on their way out of the city. They said there's no way of getting in for Ukrainian forces. So what now for the people of Mariupol?
Fighting, standing. It's hard times for all of us. I have a lot of friends there. I have a lot of parents of my friends whom I remember from my childhood. And I don't have answer for this question. Fighting and standing.
Well, let's talk about Kyiv then, and that's where you are this afternoon. I know you're based there. The mayor has announced a new curfew. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
We have some, like once in a week or in 10 days, we have this 2 days curfew. Last time we had it like 8 days when we waited for massive attack from Russian. Usually when we have some operational information, the city council announced curfew. So it helps us to be more ready, like for our territorial defense units to prepare for possible attacks. So now it's just a part of life because, you know, when you like several minutes before you called me, I just stand before the just a grocery store and waited because we just had the sirens. We had the signal of possible air attack, air defense signal, and in this case, like all the stores are closed, and you are just waiting for them to open to buy bread. No, so it's just it's very practical for us now. For you, I think it's very, you know, like impossible to imagine what's going on here. But in 3 weeks now, we're already used to it. So it became practical. And by the way, you know, you have to understand that 86% of Russian people, by the last poll, they are ready and agree and support war operation against European countries. And 75% support the war against Poland. So you will also be used to it.
Mm. And we have heard those warnings from many in Ukraine that you believe that Russia won't stop with Ukraine, that they'll continue to move. But in terms of Kyiv specifically, I know the city has held for very much longer than anyone was expecting. But I saw the UK Ministry of Defence is saying in the last hour or so that Russia's priority does remain taking control of Kyiv, that is still the plan. And there was a bomb in the city centre, I think, this afternoon, a shopping centre in Kyiv. I'm not sure it wasn't in the city centre, sorry, but it was a shopping centre certainly in Kyiv. 8 people confirmed dead there. Are you concerned about the Russian advance on the city at this point?
I want to see it, really. I want to look at it because, frankly speaking, I can't imagine. The Kyiv now is so fortified and people are so ready for possible attacks of Russian that I don't know what they have to do and what size of Russian forces have to be to capture Kyiv.
And what about
think,
from the air,
speaking,
though?
That now already they are not ready to attack Kyiv because they understand it's they will be just corpses. But you know, it's they did so many stupid things during this war. Russians, maybe they will try.
Yes, and again, we've heard about the defences that Ukrainian forces have built up in the city and that it is very well fortified at this point. But what about from the air? Like that bombing of the shopping centre came from the air. Do you have any defence against that?
Yeah, we have air defence and missile defence in Kyiv. The Kyiv is the best defended city in Ukraine, really. You know, it's not like 100% defense, of course. Of course, they can bomb us, But it's really difficult for Russia to bomb Kyiv, not like Mariupol. Because in Mariupol, they drop 100 bombs each day, every 24 hours. And when I say 100, I mean literally 100.
Just finally then, Dmytro, you may have heard just before we began speaking to you a clip from our Irish Foreign Minister, Simon Coveney, talking about how the EU is looking at potentially more and stronger sanctions again, particularly around Russian energy. What would you say to Simon Coveney if you could speak to him or to others in the EU about what Ukraine needs?
You know, when this war started, 24th of February, by the way, the day when Nazi Party was founded. So when the day when the war started, it was just a conventional war, army against army. And in a week, they have seen that, and everybody, all the world have seen that Russia cannot beat us on the battlefield. That the stories about second powerful armies in the world is just a joke, bad joke. And they decided to change strategy, and they decided if we all resist, if all Ukrainians resist, let's kill you all. And it's not the war anymore, it's mass murdering. That's what's going on in Mariupol, it's not the war. It's just killing, mass murdering of civilians. And now we are talking about you know, oil sanctions and gas sanctions. And in this situation, when it's not the war anymore, everybody has to understand in Europe that when you buy a gas and when you buy an oil from Russia, you just pay for killing civilians. You just pay for mass murdering. And that's a reality. And you have to decide, will you pay for mass murdering?
Okay, well, that's a fairly clear message. Thank you very much for speaking to us this evening. That's Dmytro Gorin, Ukrainian MP, speaking to us there from Kyiv.